Bradder's no-nonsense hits, only on Vitalize Radio, the voice of Torvain.
Today I've been joined by Jim Keach, who is the chairman of Congress Theatre Income Bran. Jim, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very well, Ian, thank you, and thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. It's lovely to have you here. So how did you get involved with the Congress Theatre?
Probably started through my eldest daughter, Liz. She was a member of Congress Youth Theatre some 15 or so years ago, perhaps even longer than that. And I used to go and watch her shows and watch her rehearse. And then the musical director and the artistic director, that's Wayne Beecham and Rachel Hamilton, they asked me would I join the committee of the Congress Youth Theatre, which I willingly did. And one thing led to another, and I was probably eventually poached by the board of trustees of the theatre, who run the whole thing. And in about 2014, after about 5 years on the board, they made me chairman. So I've been there just short of 10 years, I suppose.
Wow. So did you do amateur dramatics when you were younger then?
I did in school, yes. I was part of the Coy Diva Secondary School Youth Choir, which was a wonderful choir back in the day. And we used to do like concert parties, if you like, where we'd travel around various parts of Gwent or Monmouthshire, as it was back in the day. And we'd put on shows and sketches and some lovely songs. And some of those people I met all those years ago are still very close friends of mine now. And so that's how I got into drama. After that, I had a few years when I wasn't doing anything. And then somebody approached me to join Pontnewydd Male Choir, which I did in 1982, I think it was. I was there then for 20 years. And the bug bit me again, sort of.
Was there a favourite role to play when you were in amateur dramatics? Was there any notable roles?
Oh, gosh, any notable roles? Well, starting off at the age of 11, myself and a friend called Paul Saunders, who still lives in Cumbran, we used to do a sketch singing The Hole in the Bucket. You know the one, The Hole in the Bucket, Dear Liza, Dear Liza.
Yeah.
Well, I dressed up as Eliza. Paul dressed up as, I forget what his name was now. Never mind, it doesn't matter. But he was the male character. And we used to do that sketch. That went down very well. And that sort of got me thinking, well, you know, if you can make people laugh and entertain people, that's a wonderful thing to do. Other than that, as the years have gone on, and I've got more sort of heavily involved in drama, I think my favourite role to date is probably Jim Trott in Vicar of Dibley, where I've played him in three separate Vicar of Dibley plays. That was great fun.
That sounds great. So obviously you were part of amateur dramatics, and as I mentioned before, you are chairman of the Congress Theatre. So what does that role entail?
We have a board of trustees. The Congress Theatre is a registered charity, so we are duty-bound to have a board of trustees to sort of oversee the whole thing. It's also underpinned by a limited company. So we've not only got a board of trustees, we've also got a board of directors, but they are all the same people, and I actually chair the meetings. We meet about six times per year, just to review what's going on in the theatre, various different policies, if any of them needs updating or whatever, any staffing issues. Thankfully, there are very few of those. And it's just the overall sort of managerial oversight of the company then, if you like. So that's my involvement in it.
So do you enjoy the role? Do you enjoy being chairman?
Well, it has its ups and downs. The ups can be very up. For instance, when you're standing in front of an audience of 320 people at a special concert to mark the 50th anniversary of the theatre, that was great. But we also have some downsides to it as well, where there are difficult situations, as you can imagine, in every business that arises. And as the chairman, the buck stops with me, and I've got to bite the bullet sometimes and just deal with it, which I do, of course, along with Martin, who's our full-time general manager.
Yes. So what jobs are involved with the theatre? What could people do?
With volunteering, they can come along, they can work front of house, welcome our customers, show them to their seats, take their tickets, work behind the bar. We've got a dedicated core of volunteers. They're almost like a family, really. In fact, well, they are a family, if I'm honest with you. They all get on very well together. They sometimes will put on little shows in the Congress Theatre Lounge in an afternoon, where they do little tea concerts where people can come along and sit and enjoy just songs and sketches and just generally have a good time for a couple of hours. So there's lots that the volunteers can do. They also help out with some of the minor maintenance if we have some painting or some spring cleaning or whatever, and they can get involved as much and as little as they like.
Working with your volunteers on the recent volunteer advert we did and meeting all of them were just amazing. And they're all just so close-knit and they're so passionate about the theatre. That's what's nice to see.
Yeah, it is. And we're very, very grateful for that. You know, they're so willing and they're so dedicated. And if I'm perfectly honest, no matter how good or bad I am as a chairman and no matter how good or bad Martin Redwood is as the theatre manager, if we didn't have those volunteers, I don't think we would be able to operate. In fact, I'm sure we couldn't.
Of course, of course. What makes the Congress Theatre different from other venues then?
I think possibly is the way we run the theatre. There's a sort of hierarchy of ownership, if you like, and we're at the bottom of that chain. The theatre itself is actually owned by London and Cambridge Properties, who own Cwmbran Town Centre. They lease the building to Torvine County Borough Council on a 10-year lease, and then Torvine County Borough Council sublet it to us as the Congress Theatre Company Limited, and we run what we consider to be a very successful professional theatre in their borough on their behalf.
Yes, I'll have to second that because the theatre is amazing. So the theatre has gone under restoration over recent years. How did that become possible?
After so many years, of course, the theatre started to look rather tired. The seats in the auditorium, some of them were probably not safe to sit on, to say the least. So we thought we better do something about this. So we put the feelers out as far as fundraising was concerned, and we were able to secure a grant from Arts Council Wales, provided we match funded that grant by raising a certain percentage ourselves. And in the end, we ended up with a brand new seating in the auditorium, which cost us £75,000. Obviously, part of that was grant funded. So that was one major refurbishment we did. Since then, without funding, we've paid for this ourselves. We've upgraded the male and female toilets at a cost of about £8,000 or £9,000. We've had a new bar in Welsh Oak. That cost us £15,000. And the next project that we're looking at now is a new passenger lift, because sadly our passenger lift, although it works perfectly well, we probably need to upgrade it to take some of the bigger wheelchairs for people with mobility problems. So that's next on our horizon, but that's going to cost somewhere in the region of £25,000. So we're actively looking for funding for that as well.
Well, I hope you get the funding for that, because that is definitely important to the theatre. So the theatre just celebrated its 50th anniversary last year, as you mentioned. What has been the recipe for its success?
I think it's been the affection that the theatre is held in locally. We do have some great local support. We could always do with more, of course. But generally, it's the mix of shows that we have. And we have such a mix of different genres of theatre. We have drama, we have musicals, we've had opera, we have orchestra, lots and lots of different styles of theatre. We have an in-house youth theatre, which has been running for 30 years. That's an excellent standard of youth theatre. They've been going constantly for 30 years, and they are a great support to us, and their shows always seem to sell out. We have touring comedians, touring bands, tribute bands, etc., etc. We have some of the more famous local luminaries, shall we say, like Max Boyce. He comes to us once every 2 years, and some of the other famous comedians as well, like Jim Davidson, Jethro, bless him, but he's gone now. But I think it's the variety that we offer, rather than just plays, We do offer quite a variety of things to suit all tastes.
Yes, a wide variety of entertainment, and for a local community as well, which you don't really get in many places. So are there any plans for in the future for the theatre?
Well, obviously to survive. we were set back quite a bit, as everybody was during COVID, when we had to shut for nearly 2 years. Thankfully, we were able to generate some income during that time by converting the auditorium into a recording studio, where we got installed 8 cameras and all the various microphone equipment, recording equipment, etc. And people were able to use the auditorium during COVID to live stream bands or plays or whatever, or soloists. So that kept us going a little bit. Yeah, plans for the future to be very much part of what Cwmbran Shopping wants to become. And I think they are trying to develop, the new owners are trying to develop a sort of nighttime economy, if you like. And for the last goodness knows how many years, we have been the only part of that nighttime economy, something that's open, you know, after a certain time in the evening, unless you take McDonald's, of course, but you're not going to go there for a night out, I don't suppose. So there are plans afoot, I think, to get more restaurants into the town. We recently had loungers moving next door. It was the Carrow Lounge restaurant, which has been a great success. So that's the first part of the new businesses that they're bringing in. And I think we will be very much a part of that that new, or proposed, I should say, nighttime economy.
That sounds great. And I'm sure lots of people would want to come into the centre during the nighttime, because you tend to only get people going to the theatres, even coming out of the theatre in the night. You don't really, it's all dark and you just go to your car and you're back off home.
That's right. Thanks to the Carrow Lounge, they'll be open next door to us, and they're open until about 11 o'clock at night. There's always somebody about. That previously dark corner of Gwent Square is now fully lit. So people can leave the theatre after a show and either pop next door to have a drink, or they can leave feeling that, you know, there are lots more people about, and the town centre is slowly losing that dark, intimidating atmosphere, I suppose, it had in years gone by. So that's a very positive thing for the town centre, I believe, and for us.
Yes. So moving back on to your life, you're also a member of a local theatre group called Theatre Ad Hoc, which you mentioned one of their plays earlier. What's it like being part of that group?
It is absolutely wonderful. They're a mixture of funny, warm, mad, very talented people, and they're just a joy to be around. I got involved with Ad Hoc about 4 or 5 years ago, and it's been one of the joys of my life, and it's great fun just going around with them to various venues, putting on plays, and just being part of something, you know, which we all enjoy. And it, if I do say so, it's pretty good quality stuff as well. You know, I think lots of people sort of draw a line between amateur dramatics, or AMDRAM as they call it, and then the professional theatre. If I'm honest, I think Theatre Ad Hoc sits somewhere in between, neither amateur nor professional, but just sort of a step up from your amateur, if you like, in as much that, you know, when I think of amateur dramatics, I think of putting on a play in a drafty church hall, you know, with a prompter sat there reminding everybody of their lines, etc. But Ad Hoc isn't like that. It takes a more sort of professional outlook. And we do tour theatres rather than church halls these days. And most of the time, those theatres are fairly full when we go to them, which is great. So, we are somewhere between amateur dramatics and the professional theatre. And I'm very proud to say we are. We're a good little company. Come and see us.
Yes. Well, I agree, because being part of this, Snow White last year, they sold out the Blenheim Workman's Hall.
Yes, they
which
did.
Which shocked me, because I've never been part of that. Just seeing that they had to release more seats and they sold out, I was like, wow, that's... And you always think amateur dramatics, it's got that stigma about it of, it's going to be rubbish. But really, unless you go and see it, you can't really call it rubbish, can you?
It's far from rubbish. I mean, I think Ad Hoc has revitalised the Workman's Hall in Blenheim, because I'm not sure what was going on there in way of entertainment before. But now we take one of our plays there every year. And we also have the panto at Christmas for the younger group, the youth theatre. And that seems to have revitalised the place. We struggled in the early days selling the seats, but now, as you say, we're selling out. The last play we did, we had over 120 seats that were sold, whereas when we first started, we were lucky to get 30 or 40. So it's building all the time. The support base is building there. And with the younger group, the doing the pantos, I mean, that's just taking off. And I envisage a time when we'll be putting pantos on at the Workman's Hall, where we'd either have to do an extra night or an extra day, or turn people away because we haven't got enough seats, which would be wonderful.
Yes, and they always say that pantos are a big part of a child's life. It's the first time they get to experience it, and to allow children to have the opportunity to perform in one is just even better.
That's right. Well, there are certain youngsters that shall I say, we've got an eye on them at the moment, and they eventually, hopefully, will sort of do the transition from the younger group into perhaps the touring company and come with us when we go around various theatres around South Wales. That would be wonderful if we could do that.
Yes. What's the next ad hoc production that people can see then?
The next one is an Agatha Christie play called Go Back for Murder, and we're performing that. I haven't got the dates to hand at the moment, but I can say it's the last week of June. So we start off at the beginning of the week in the Congress Theatre. Then we move up to the Met, or the Metropole Theatre in Abertillery, which is a wonderful little theatre. And if any of your listeners in that area have never been there before, I would urge them to do so. It's a great little place. We then, later in the week, we go to the Borough Theatre in Abergavenny. And finish up then on the Friday evening in the, which I think is the 30th of June, and that will be in the Blenavon Workman's Hall. But that's the four venues we've got for this particular tour.
Yes, well, we'll make sure to let our listeners know of those dates, and we'll also publicise it on the social medias, because
that'll
be worth
great.
Them knowing. What has been your favourite show in the Congress Theatre then? Have there been any ones that you think, yeah, that really was a good show? To go and watch?
To go and watch?
Yeah.
Well, there are so many, actually. As I say, we've got so many different genres of theatre, if you like. I suppose if I could pick out a couple of different ones from different areas of theatre or entertainment, if you like. We've had Welsh Floyd, the tribute band to Pink Floyd, who are excellent. That probably would be top of the rock band genre, if you like. I can't say ad hoc because I'm in it. If I was watching it, I would probably say yes, ad hoc was one of the better plays. But we've had Black Rat Touring Company come to us. They're a professional company. And they did One Man, Two Governors. That was an excellent play performed by their actors. That was brilliant. We've also had the Welsh Musical Theatre Orchestra, and they come along and do all songs from the shows. And their musical director, Andrew Hopkins, has got his contacts in the West End, and we quite often have West End performers coming to appear at those shows as well, people like Caroline Sheen and Rosemary Ash, etc., which is fantastic evenings out. But I think if I were to put my hand on my heart and be slightly biased and parochial here, the best shows I've seen have got to be the youth theatre shows. West Side Story that they did recently was brilliant. Les Miserables, which we did about 15 years ago, that was absolutely incredible. And we did a production of Pirates of Penzance, which again was very memorable. But I think all the youth theatre shows have been absolutely brilliant, and I thoroughly enjoy those.
Yes, I think one thing you can guarantee at the Congress is when it's going to be a tribute show there, it's always going to be a good tribute show because the theatre pick well. And it's not one of those where you go and it's like, oh yeah, well, you just had a wig on, they didn't sound anything like it. But people in the valleys, a lot of them haven't got the money to go and see, such as, I think you had ELO again there once. They haven't got the money to go and see them.
Yeah, that going back to theatre ad hoc, that was one of the reasons why we formed about 10 or so years ago, was to take what we hope would be quality productions to places, to smaller places, where people might find it difficult getting access to theatre. And that was our bread and butter. It's grown a little bit since then, but we're still, only a 10, 12 pound to come and see a really good play. So, we're still fulfilling, I think, a social service in a way there by allowing people to, if they want to come and watch a good play at a cut price.
So if people wanted to help the Congress to survive in future years, how could they do it?
The biggest thing they could do would be to come and see a show. That's all I can say, is to appeal to people. If you haven't been to the Congress yet to see a show yet, my first question would be, why not? Well, when it's on your doorstep. But seriously, the best support we could get is for people to come and watch what we're putting out there. And hopefully that would help us to survive for another 50 years. That's the vision, that we can get more and more, to use the term, bums on seats, as it were. That would be wonderful.
Yes. So how could people get involved with the theatre in volunteering? Because you touched upon the roles, but how could people become part of the theatre?
They can have a look on our website, the Congress Theatre website, or they can just call in. There's usually somebody there during the week behind the box office, and just go and have a chat with either Martin Redwood, our manager, or Kaylee Davis, our assistant manager. Yeah, Kaylee runs the volunteering side of it. But just if you're interested, come along and have a chat. We'll show you around. You can have a cup of tea or coffee with us. We'll make you feel very welcome, and come along and volunteer. There are certain shows that you can pick if you want to volunteer on a certain show that you may be able to get in and watch it for nothing. So come along and give it a try. That's all I can say.
Yes. Jim, thank you for a great interview. It's been lovely chatting with you today. For those interested in getting involved with the Congress Theatre, you can go in and speak to the manager and the assistant manager, or you could visit their website and contact them via email or even their social media. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much. Thank you.